Welcome to www.nylxsradio.com. Today, we're going to have our Sunday evening show. Today is July 30th, 2002, and we're going to be celebrating our fifth show. We had a couple technical glitch last week, but we're back on the air this week, and I have to thank our technical staff, both Marco Stoffe and Brett Winkoop, who worked hard this afternoon to getting everything together. And we're once again able to bring to you, live from the borough of Brooklyn, USA, the WWWNYLXS Linux and Free Software Show. So welcome to the Big Shoe, and we will be with you in just a minute. Okay, this is in the beginning of the summer doldrums of New York City. For those of you who may be listening to this from outside the city or have the advantage of listening to this later because we have an MP3 stream that's being captured. In New York, the first week of July is generally empty. And I was in Midtown yesterday, and sure enough, Grand Central Station had about 3 people in it, which is really unusual. And everybody's making their vacation plans, and we're looking forward to a stunning 4th of July, and hopefully, God bless everybody, that we won't have a nuclear meltdown from any terrorists like we did last fall, and that the government is watching after us. And in addition to that, this actually affords us an opportunity to do a number of things that otherwise we would not normally be able to do. And among the things that we're going to be taking care of this summer that otherwise we would not be able to do is take care of some of our behind-the-scenes work so that we can get a chance to prepare for things that otherwise we wouldn't be able to do because we're usually running around like jackrabbits with all the activities that we're doing. Among the things that NYLXS is planning on sponsoring this summer includes also we're going to have our second free software business demo. I can't tell you how excited I am about this because the first one, if you didn't make it, was such a huge success. We got together with the CUNY Graduate Center last time on 5th Avenue and 32nd Street, or 34th Street, and we had the wonderful advantage of being able to show off our wares to a rather large crowd. We probably had about 300 people total that came up, which is pretty good, considering it's our first shot at trying to do something like this. We had a lot of graduate students also show up, and business people from around the Midtown area. And that was also, strangely enough, on a holiday weekend. It was just before Memorial Day. And even though it was a Friday before Memorial Day, we started to move on that, and people still showed up, and it was just a wonderful experience for the organization. Our people worked really hard. We had, on that demonstration, in fact, the MP3s from all the discussions are on the WWWNYLXS radio or MP3 section. Specifically, it's under resources if you're looking at the site. By the way, also, for those of you who are trying to find us, you should know that we have moved our radio link on the website from the front page to the resources section, and there was a couple reasons to this. The first reason is because I wanted to make sure that our main message about what our organization is about remains on the front page, and it was becoming a hodgepodge of stuff, so I rearranged things and put them back into their original orders. And so one of the things that we did was I moved the radio show webpage to under resources, and also underneath there is the MP3s for the CUNY demo, and the CUNY demo is also under the events section. And if you were one of the people that were involved in that demo, I want to get your name, address, and contact information so you can take not only credit, but if any business comes out of that exposition on the part of NYLXS, that, hey, you know, you guys work for it, you guys should make a few bucks on it. So we're looking forward to that. And, of course, if you would like to participate in the one that we're doing at LaGuardia College in Queens, we would like your participation, and I would ask you to contact Demeter on the NYLXS Hangout mailing list, which is our main mailing list. And there you could contact Dimitar, who's in charge of getting the demo together, and tell him that you want to be involved, or you can get a hold also of Marco Stoffe and coordinate with him. And what we did last time is we did database front-end work, we did databases, we did office suites, we did evolution mail clients and servers, we showed PHPware, we did graphic artists for business with free software, and of course all this stuff is obviously free software. And finally, what we did was is that we also included into that the Linux terminal server and the very exciting technology, which has just recently released its final beta testing software, the Bayonne Telephone PBX system, was also there on demonstration by David Sugar, who in his own right is quite a remarkable individual, David, because what David does is not only the Bayonne project, but he's also in charge of the whole damn .gnu thing, which is more than I really understand. I would recommend that you go to www.gnu.org and take a look at some of David's work having to do with business applications using a situation that's very similar to, but not exactly, to the Microsoft .NET programming material. So with all this, we're really excited about the upcoming CUNY demo, because we hope to have a similar array of things, and maybe even a little bit more. We hope to have maybe some more web work. Of course, it's the mission of NYLXS to really try to push free software onto the desktop. This is something that, if you listen to previous radio shows, you know that we consider this a critical area for free software to be in. It's a big mistake that historically Unix is considered a server platform. It makes just a marvelously wonderful desktop environment to work with. And me and Joe Gastera had discussed some of the advantages of it, and we hope that we're going to encourage people to increasingly adopt it. Of course, once you adopt the desktop and the server market follows, it usually does not work the other way around. Historically, it's a mistake, and so that's one of the reasons why we're so pressed for trying to do the desktop initiative. And you'll hear more about that soon. In fact, this one of the things we'll be discussing is we finally have our accounting desktop application project underway. We met with Joe Mafia, Alex Chan, and myself to discuss all the needs of a real accounting business and in that industry what it is that they need in order to get their stuff to work and function. And we have a really good outline of what we're going to need, and we are now scouting out the tools for it. And hopefully Alex is going to be giving us a report on this on the mailing list very soon, and we will have that posted also off the front page and also off the resources section, or maybe off the membership section, we'll see. And we'll see how that goes also. I'd like to also take a moment out to dedicate this show to my children out in Milwaukee, Wisconsin. I would like to say hello to Tali. I'd like to say hello to Shani. I'd like to say hello to David and Itka, and also to Aviva Rachel and Shmuley Bear Safer, and may everybody be comfortable out there and be having a wonderful warm summer. So, as we are now and as things are working out right this minute, we will come back with you in about 30 seconds to discuss with you and some of the exciting new things that are happening in terms of the immediate plans. Actually, let me first, before I go disappear from the air for a second, let me tell you that what our agenda is tonight. Our agenda is to talk about the following things. First, we're going to be discussing the, as we already touched upon, the CUNY demo that we're going to be doing in Queens. So if you're in the Queens area, I really encourage you to be involved with this. Then we're going to be also discussing our first NYLXS official social event. We are not going to be discussing free software at all. We're going to take the pro-mongers attitude on this. We're going to be discussing beer and copulation with the opposite sex, whichever sex you happen to be, if that happens to be the thing that you're into. And I don't know, maybe, you know, what's new in music and what Broadway show we've seen recently and things like that, and do a little bit of dancing and do the cha-cha-cha. And we're going to have also a guest speaker at that event, and it's going to be the first NYLXS social event, and we're going to be discussing that also. Then after we discuss that, we are then going to be discussing NYLX's invitation by the French government to do LMS in France, which is the Libre Software Movement's Jigable. The bottom line with that is that I've been invited to go to France to do a speech there, and we're going to do a test run of that speech so that we have it recorded here. And then after we do that and we discuss that, that will be the thing. We're going to close out the show by discussing some of our odds and ends that we've been trying to take care of, including the upcoming install fest that we have scheduled, and the upcoming in-services. We have commitments for in-services coming up, including my good friend Ari Jort, who is just a wonderfully warm person. He just radiates warmth wherever he goes, and that's about it. So stay tuned. We'll be back in about 30 seconds. Hi there, we are back. Let me welcome everybody, and let's just run through the agenda for tonight. The first thing to discuss is the new desktop initiative. I want to first of all thank everybody, especially Alex Chan, who's committed himself to doing the background work, and also my very good friend Ron Guerin for doing the background work on trying to get the new desktop initiative off the ground. Specifically, we're targeting at this point the accounting business. If you are in the accounting business, or if you are involved in doing any system administration with the accounting business or application development, and you would like to help us fill the gaps as we try to fill the gaps with free software for accountants, we would love for you to get in touch with us. You can email me directly at Ruben, R-U-B-E-N, at mrbrklyn.com, mrbrooklyn.com, or you can contact me at nylxs.com. And let me know that you want to be involved with getting this account. That we're hoping we got a deadline set now for 6 months from last Tuesday, and I'll put that on the website shortly this week. And what we're looking to do is, by that deadline, to basically have a completely functional accounting desktop so that we can, for all practical purposes, eliminate Windows from the accounting system. Now, I don't know how far we're going to get with this. There are clearly some things that are easier to do than others. When sitting down with Joe and with Alex and going through the things that they needed done, one of the interesting things and one of the problem areas is that some of the record-keeping applications that they're using in their firm run right into their tax software in order to create 1040s and so on. And you might ask, why is this such a problem? Well, the problem here is that the tax software is not something that we can just hack together. It's not a software problem. It's a keeping up with the federal government and trying to figure out the state laws constantly all the time, including the 50 states and the municipalities, and keeping all those forms online ready to run constantly and continually. And that is a huge undertaking. I can't see how we can possibly really accomplish this without an effort from somebody paid to do it. It's boring, monotonous work, it's tedious, and it's expensive to have programmers working on this. And it's full-time. It's not something that you can just split your efforts with, like you're working for so-and-so doing a core, you know, doing Oracle databases and hack on your spare time. It's not that kind of thing. In many respects, it's a harder thing to do than even the Linux kernel. The Linux kernel, people can actually do it by spending a significant amount of their spare time on it. This is not something that's going to be able to be done in somebody's spare time. Keeping up with the rules, you know, it's not like you solve the problem today and the problem's solved. The problem is today, and then tomorrow the rules change, and then you have to be aware of what the rule changes are, and you have to keep up with the government and so on. So I think that I can't see how we're going to be able to do this without getting some type of commercial app, you know, commercial product involved. Now, the thing is, mind you, that just because it's a commercial product doesn't mean that it can't be free software. However, anybody with a little common sense will know that it's going to be harder to try to get these tax companies to integrate the front end for their product into GNU Linux and then also convince them at the same time to free their code. Now, I am a huge proponent of making sure that we try to free the code up and try to put it under the GPL as much as possible. Under this circumstance, realistically, it may not be even as critical as in other conditions because the rules constantly change anyway for the taxes, as I just said. So, you know, the code that's out there Monday by Tuesday may not even be worth anything. However, of course, there's still the issues of being able to do security audits on the code and just being able to have the examples so that other people can work with it. However, it's going to be a tough sell, and we're going to have to get a very good marketing person to try to convince somebody to free up the software for a tax-based program, and by golly, NYOXS is going to be committed to try to make that happen exactly like that. However, we also just absolutely have to have the tax end of the software on the desktop, and it's got to be integrated with the other parts which are more generalized and which are easy to make the case for GPLing. The integration is going to be another issue also. So we'll see what we can rally around this. I'm hoping to, we still need volunteers to work on this. Obviously, as much as we need two types of people, three types of people. We need somebody who's a project manager. That's basically Alex Chen. He's going to basically handle that end of things. And he's going to scope throughout the free software net and try to find the appropriate software for the basic record keeping and accounting cycle stuff that's necessary. However, we're also going to need that person who's going to be able to talk to the corporations and try to make the case to convince them to GPL. First, we're going to have to make the case for them to actually get their software onto free software in the first place, both FreeBSD and Linux, or GNU Linux, preferably. And then, of course, we're going to try to make the pitch also that it's to their advantage to free the source code up. And that's going to be somebody who's quite suave and quite capable. We're not talking about an Eric Raymond type here, nor are we talking about a Ruben Seyfert type, but we're talking about somebody who is better capable of handling this kind of conversation. And so if you are of that type of person, you're used to talking to corporate professionals. We're not talking about IT professionals even, but we're talking about business planners and who's used to making these kind of cases, then we're definitely interested in bringing you along. Of course, everybody that's involved in bringing this entire desktop to fruition will, of course, be in the primary position to profit from it from a financial point of view. Because once we have a free software product, then the next step for accounting purposes, then the next step is clearly to market it directly to all the accounting firms and to sell support for it, and you guys will be first in the line. The next thing handling this problem is the next piece of software is the billing software. Of course, the accountants need to do billing as well as, you know, accounting. Obviously, they don't want to account for free. That's even more boring than writing the tax software is actually doing the taxes, and not to mention the bookkeeping, and these guys want to get paid. And the accounting firms that hire accountants do so on a professional basis, and they hire out their services on an hourly basis, not too much different really from programmers. So there's a lot of issues, and what we really need is to come up with the tools, maybe separately or together, that allow for practice management of the systems. So they need to be able to do the billing. They have to be able to keep track of who's doing what and when. They have, preferably there's some HR stuff that can be integrated into this desktop. We would also like to be able to, of course, have all these things working on the same databases so that they're all capable of being talked together, and then we can glue the stuff together in a reasonable fashion. Hopefully we can get the .gnu people to help us with that stuff, or the eGNU, or which is the Enterprise GNU people to help us with this. We have already licked, for all practical purposes, the problems with the basic email clients and the word processing and other Office material like that, because OpenOffice is a wonderful product, Evolution is a wonderful product, and Of course, there's also the issue of client relations. When accountants go over and they do audits, they need to be able to read files from these proprietary formats. This is, of course, by its nature, a losing battle. However, we need to be able to nevertheless work out a level of integration with Quicken files, because that's a big thing that a lot of small clients use currently, and it's not a reality that we're going to be able to simultaneously fight why we're trying to get this software off the Windows desktop and onto a GNU free software desktop. It's one battle at a time. And so they're going to have to be able to read these files, or to export them out into a more rational database type so that they can be imported into our own applications. There's also another integral part of this, in addition to the practice management, is, or included into the practice management, is the issue of human relations, or HR, facilities for hiring and firing and health benefits, which is also built into the practice software that Joe showed us in his firm, Rosenzweig and Mafia. And actually, let me pause here for a minute and just say something about Rosenzweig and Mafia as an accounting firm. If anybody who's in free software or runs a consulting business in free software and you need an accountant, I highly recommend Rosenzweig and Mafia. Not only have they been a tremendous proponent of free software, they have helped us bootstrap our educational programs off the ground by letting us use their offices. Joe Mafia has just been a stunning friend of free software and of our organization particularly. In fact, he is our treasurer, and he's always done our books for us. And he's just a wonderful, warm guy. If you need accounting services, these people are 100% trustworthy, competent, and free software people. What more can you want out of an accounting firm? And they're going to let us use their practice for our experimentation for our accounting desktop. So this is as good as you get. So if you have the need for an accounting service, I strongly and highly recommend that you look at Rosenzweig and Mafia. Their website is www.rm-cpa.com. And take a look at the services that they can provide. In addition to that, I can tell you that Joe Mafia is one of the highest people of integrity I've ever met. He has even been able to... He used to work for Don King, and he got in such trouble with Don King that he had to hide out from the Don King Mafiosa, which is funny because Joe's second name is Mafia. But he had to hang out in Bermuda and hide from them for a while because basically they had his name on a tombstone. So Joe has gone under great adversity in order to keep professional ethics. And so you're not going to find anybody, really, who has got more integrity than Joe Mafia also. So from that perspective alone, really, I recommend him. And interestingly enough, it's very interesting, and we'll get into this some other time in a different radio show. His main practice is having to do with sports business, and that is the sports business, and the entertainment industry. So... this is one of these cases of interesting bedfellows. So I recommend Joe, and once again, that URL is www.rm-cpa.com. Now, we've said that we have, in the analysis of what he needed the basic tax programs and also the basic spreadsheet programs that they're using. It's not really a spreadsheet, but the accounting spreadsheet program. It's nice to be integrated into the tax program, as some of their cases. They also need the auditing capability software, and they also have a situation, as many accountants do, where they go over and they actually run the businesses for businesses. So actually they act as the back-end office, so they cut the checks and do the salary, and they take care of the books, and they do the bookkeeping, and so on and so forth. And this is one of the services they provide. This is also something that we need to do. However, for this purpose, I think we have a wonderful program called SQL Ledger, which appears to have everything we need to be able to do this, and we're going to be testing that out. Of course, that runs a Postgres, so I think that in terms of this accounting desktop, what we're probably going to try to do is standardize everything in Postgres, which is not my database of choice, not because it's inferior in any way, just because I'm an idiot and I'm only capable of handling MySQL, but Postgres is a very good database.
Let me interrupt here just a minute.
You can't interrupt here. Because you don't have a microphone. Okay, let's just take a 10-second pause at this particular moment, and we'll be back. And I want to invite my friend Jay Sulzberger, who... Is it Sulzberger or Sulzberg?
Sulzberger.
Sulzberger. Okay. Into the action here, so that he can also get his say. We'll be back on the air in 10 seconds.
How are the levels? Okay. Okay. All right.
Okay, we're on the air. Okay, I'd like to welcome back, and let me introduce you. If anybody who hasn't met Jay Sulzberg, shame on you if you haven't yet. This is the famous Jay Sulzberg of the Wax List. You know, he doesn't run the Wax List.
That's for darn sure.
For all practical purposes, he controls the Wax List.
That's also not true.
Yes, it is.
It's not true.
Okay.
I hardly even post there except small, short, sharp advertisements for free software.
And
occasionally I have to correct ignoramuses.
And ongoing discussions about
that,
the Lisp programming.
Even there, I'm always gentle.
Okay. Anyway, let me introduce him. And Jay Sulzberg is the secretary for LXNY, which
is now a mostly secret organization. However, we'll soon be having big public meetings again. And as always, when we have a public meeting, you don't have to tell anybody your name, your rank, or your serial number. If you are captured by the opposing forces, we will also complain to the Geneva Convention body in case they require more of you than name, rank, and serial number. But to come to our meetings, since you're not our prisoner, we don't ask that.
Let me just introduce you. Jay Sulzberg, he's the recording secretary of LXNY. They are going to be doing and be announcing some interesting things soon. They kind of fell off some people's radars because they haven't had many public meetings lately, but they have been working. In addition, Jay is an instrumental member of NYLXS.
Well, I'm not actually technically a voting member yet, but I shortly will be.
Actually, you're a voting member.
Okay. I've been inducted under the grandfather clause.
No, you're not my grandfather. But the thing is that if you've done the volunteer, it's not necessary. You clearly remember. He's also active with NYLOG free software. He's somewhat...
I go to NYLOG meetings occasionally, but actually I quit going some time ago. I go to drinking afterwards, but I've even quit going to that.
Well, the drinking part used to be the best part. And
the drinking
still think
is always, in free public meetings, the most important part. It's very rare that the actual public meeting...
That's the best part of our meetings.
It's very rare that I can stand sitting through one, if it's one of LXNY's, and ours are by far the best.
One of the great things about our meetings is that generally if we have open house in services, which is open to the public, of course we drink while we're trying to discuss technical issues, which makes very much fun. Jay is also a rampaging bull. But outside of that, he's just fine.
That's not true.
We love him, and he's beloved. And it's actually...
That part's true.
His picture, that is his picture. That's his picture, the guy with the white beard trying to pick up the girl by handing her a pamphlet that's on the front of the NYLXS site. Yes. He's excellent at giving out pamphlets.
Okay, now I'm going to interrupt here.
Just once.
Okay. No, I'll be interrupting many of them. So as for Postgres versus MySQL, I know nothing about these things. However, my brief experience with both of them, and this was a couple of years ago, was I went and I looked at the documentation, and I had the feeling that I could understand the Postgres documentation, and I had grave difficulties with the MySQL. Now, I know that MySQL is much more popular than Postgres.
Wait, hang on, because that's like 90. That's the reverse experience of like 90% of the world. The Postgres documentation...
Okay.
Is much harder to understand generally than the MySQL and generation, which is one of the reasons why it's so popular.
Okay.
Is because its documentation is out there in the open.
Well, I was able to get PostgreSQL set up in what I consider to be a reasonable period of time, a day or two.
What, you didn't do it with apt-get?
No, of course I used apt-get, but it's more than that. To actually set up a system, you have to define the so-called database schema, which... curiously enough, has a lot to do with the data flow programming, etc. But, I was able to set it up, and the MySQL thing just seemed very difficult. That was the thing. But, you know, I do not speak as a professional. And, of course, in reality, You know, the issue is not how difficult it is to install something. The issue is what are the libraries, which of your friends use the thing so you can ask them.
Well, that was the other thing. MySQL has superior, beyond any other product I know of, free software otherwise, it has the most superior support from its creator and its user community. When Monty came to New York for the Linux Expo a couple of years ago, I had the pleasure of taking him and his son out to dinner. We went to the Second Avenue Deli, and they ordered Chinese food. Of course, they're from Finland, so he'd never seen anything like that before, and he had a great time. I showed him downtown Brooklyn, of course, and we went to the promenade, and we saw the... And then his kids, after he went back to Finland, his kids were here and stayed with me for another day after that, and we had showed him some of the World Trade Center when that was still standing. And he's a marvelous guy, but the thing about him was is that during the whole expo, he was answering questions on his mailing list. The MySQL mailing list has got to be the busiest, one of the busiest ones on the net, and there is no question that gets placed in that mailing list that doesn't get answered. And the man is completely disarming. He's like honest in that way. I mean, he never irritates anybody. It's amazing that he got into that pit bull fight with Newsphere over the...
They were simply violating the license, and... You know, there are many people who are utterly charming, kind, gentle, and generous. And if you violate their copyright license, they are only restrained by their being citizens of a lawful republic from catching you and slicing you into small pieces, as is traditional in copyrightia.
There's also the issue of... it's Monty's product, ultimately. I mean, it's their creation, and I think they were simply, from a basal level, that is, from the gut, they were defending their work. And that MySQL was not originally GPL. He was convinced to bring it into the GPL by a variety of people, and to a degree, I think he felt a little bit... that's one of the reasons why he sued them under the GPL. Not only was that right, but after they convinced him to do this, and he did it begrudgingly. He looked at it many ways. He could try to make money with MySQL. It was extremely popular already at that point. But he was convinced to bring it to the GPL, and clearly he wasn't going to let himself get burned by that. So, and this has really actually been a good test case for how businesses can work with the GPL and protect their interest. In this case, the GPL probably has saved the MySQL guys, because they are clearly outgunned by the other organization in terms of money and lawyers. And Monty was basically able to make this thing stick because the GPL is as solid as it is as far as a legal document is concerned. So the GPL probably saved him greatly in that case. But nevertheless, my point is that the man is relentless in getting every technical question, even if it's the same question over and over again, five times a day. He answers every single message. Of course, now he's got a cadre of people that helps him, but nevertheless, he's just an amazing technical support guy, and that's one of the reasons why MySQL has moved forward in places where other products that were even superior, because Postgres is clearly superior to MySQL in a number of ways, was able to nevertheless move that product forward into the limelight. If one thing, it runs /. Because of the beautiful support that Monty gives as a human being to everybody else. And if you don't know about MySQL, then it's www.mysql.com. And if you don't know about Postgres, I think that is basically on SourceForge, actually. I think it's the only place getting Postgres, unless you get it from the distributions. But they don't have
their own Google, site. And you do PostgreSQL. Maybe you put in the word database. Mm-hmm. I think either one will do.
It's also harder for a beginner to get started with because Postgres has all the constraints of a real database.
It's a standard database. It has a few extra features.
It's designed for heavy loads, and it's in the same way that Oracle has become a dominant database because it's almost impossible to kill even with a 45 caliber. Postgres has a lot of that to it that makes it inherently harder to actually get up and running. Very often, but once you do get it up and running, it has much more data security, and it has tighter control. This is a plus and a minus. You know, if you barricade your door, it's harder to get in.
Let me just say that although I know very little about it, looking at it from outside, these MySQL databases do just fine on what I would consider to be huge sites.
Yes.
And they don't run into problems.
Well, yes, but there's a lot of things to that. First of all, I'm a big proponent of MySQL. However, sure. realistically, I wouldn't run a bank on it because it lacks transactions, and it really doesn't need stored procedures per se because it's got a C interface that lets you write user-defined functions, which is effectively the same thing as far as I'm concerned. But the thing is that they're first building the ACID checking, which is the transactions, commits, and rollback features into it, and its capabilities are being done in parallel or first coming online now. And increasingly, as it's becoming a more complicated product in this development cycle, Postgres, of course, started out with a completely different model, which is one of the reasons also it wasn't adopted. The, you know, it was an experimental database designed to do something which I think is crazy, which is trying to make an object-oriented database, and I'm not going to get into any debates about this. Right. It's just my opinion. But, and I have... it's valid reasons for this opinion.
It had an interface language which was different
than SQL, which I think is a mistake.
SQL. It had something called, I think, Quell and then PostQuell.
So the thing is that you know, it took them a while to actually, once they realized that they were getting their product wiped up as a matter of pride by the MySQL growth, then they came back and they redeveloped a lot of it so that it has more of the functionality that hardcore database administrators want in it at this point.
It was originally a research project, an academic research project.
Which is why it's called Postgres.
And it was converted.
It was a post-document degree program.
That's right. It's beyond, after Anglis.
Which is true about the Linux kernel also. It's a postgraduate research project.
That's right. That was a personal research and learning project, a personal learning project. And then it became a standard industrial thing. And the part that surprises me, of course, about this is that that happens more often than one would expect. In the computer business,
oh, clearly, because it's a science,
the so-called
it's a science,
source secret or proprietary
stuff.
It's a
science-oriented construction, very much like medicine. The basic foundation for research, which develops into the products that make billions of dollars, wind up really, it comes down to academic research by undergraduate grunts. And... this is not a bad thing. This is the purpose that universities serve. They're supposed to be hotbeds for experimentation and development in areas where straight business models to do such research is not going to function. And this is not bad. This is completely good. But from our perspective, standardizing Postgres means that a lot of the people that are involved with us are going to have to do a little bit of a slide step over to a more complicated database platform. And there's going to be some educational process on our end. But I'm hoping that we can get everybody... I'm hoping that all the programs that we get on this desktop basically talk to one database so that we have one data mined central location for all the raw data. And then it makes it much easier then to fill in the gaps that if we need to fill them in because we're basically working with one database which has all the data, and so that it becomes easy for us to transfer data from application A to application B because we don't even need to import it or export it. It's just there in the database. It's amazing, really, that these things... The reason why things don't work like this in the first place is an interesting thing. We're talking about, like, the QuickBooks problem, right? Like Joe says, we have a problem with QuickBooks that if you go over and you go to a client with a laptop, you need to be able to read the QuickBook files. But why is that the case? Well, the reason why that's the case is astonishingly stupid. The reason that's the case is because... the cost for a real-time accounting system for small business and even small accounting firms was so enormously expensive, especially on the Unix platforms that this stuff was at, because these companies didn't want to market to the mass market. They made it so damn expensive that Intuit came along, or Quicken came along, and created a cheap program that can basically do this. But in order to do this, they weren't going to use Oracle, and they weren't going to use Sybase, because these are expensive products. Not only that, but it takes a relatively large... amount of technical knowledge to get these programs working because they're source secrets. And not only are they source secret, I kind of hate using that term because of the whole dispute with free software and the open source movement, which is an overplayed
dispute
anyway. Well, I think
source secret's right.
But in any event, the problem is that trying to get Oracle up and running is just unbelievably difficult because you can't just make it configure, and it really takes a lot to learn how to use it, and you don't want to stick somebody with that, although Oracle's finally woken up to the fact that there should be marketing to the masses, and now they are. In fact, what they've done in order to try to expedite the problem of not having to run the database, what they're doing is basically renting you the service of doing accounting and bookkeeping stuff cheaply through the web by selling you the access, and they run the database, which makes all the sense in the world because... they are in control, A, so they can force you in upgrades, B, and C, they don't have to worry about having outside DBAs involved, that's C, and it opens up, and at least in Oracle's case, they're smart enough to try to actually compete to the mass market. So that's Z by making it affordable, or relatively affordable. But in the case of Quicken, at the time the Quicken came around in the late 80s, there was nothing that was available. And of course, none of these things were going to run on the standard PC hardware anyway. Maybe Sybase might have. But the bottom line was, so what did they do? They created their own back-end file structure that has these limited files, these QIC files. And as a result, they don't really talk to a database engine itself. And so you need to transfer these files from location to location to location. And what's going to be able to read these files? Well, Quicken's going to be able to read them, or QuickBooks is going to be able to read them. But if you create an application, you have to reverse engineer that moving target. So this is going to be a huge, long-term problem. So if we can get it so that we can just get, we have facilitators just working on the constant changes to the Quicken files, but we're actually porting this stuff over eventually into a real database. And we can get down so the database can get up and running with all the pre-configured def box-like applications.
Yeah.
Then what happens is, and I'll let Jay explain what def box is in a minute, but just give me a minute on it. Then we take away the administration problem. Of course, we can still be involved in supporting it anyway because they're not paying for the licenses, right? So instead of paying for $100,000 for licensing fees for 1,000 copies of Quicken, you have a free software consultant who works with NYLXS and sister organizations like NYLXS that help bring this project to fruition, and we know the product, and we have the technical expertise, and through that, we start churning out jobs. And the jobs are more important to us than the damn sales of software licenses. Clearly, this is the free software model, and this is what we're proposing. And with that being said, before anybody, everybody is still wondering what the heck a DefBox is, let me give you a few moments just to give a quick rant on what DefBox is.
I'm going to avoid giving the DefBox rant, but
just enough to explain the definition. Just to find it.
This is not the right moment, but suffice it to
say... Yes, it is, because I use the term, and nobody knows what it is.
Suffice it to say that when you buy a box of GNU Linux, you're not actually buying an operating system. What you're buying is a machine shop, some training manuals, and which, if you're good at understanding these things, and you have a native talent for constructing an operating system, not only a machine shop, but marvelous raw materials, you can actually build an operating system. Now, you have to have some hardware, so there's a big part of it is fitting the resulting operating system onto the hardware. But as a matter of fact, there's no reason that computers have to be like this, and we're now talking about PCs. When you buy a PC, somebody has gone to some trouble to install an operating system on it. As we know, Microsoft, in cooperation with the large vendors of PCs, have arranged so that the only operating system they will sell you on it is, and they don't even sell it to you, they just force it on you, is a Microsoft operating system. But the term used, which I think we'll avoid, if possible, could we avoid using it in the show anymore? Just because I haven't launched the site yet.
Yeah, sure. We can avoid using it.
We can use the full term, a defined box. A defined box is a computer. It performs all the operations. This is not actually a critical part of it, but the main usage the way I use it is. It's a piece of hardware and software that when you get it, take it out of the box, you plug it in. You may have to perform one single operation, actually two operations, deciding on a name for yourself and your users. You may have to do it more than once. And then you may have to feed in some randomness, which I think a deck of cards or some dice would be the best way to do it. But that is a detail. The thing is that it's not like buying a PC. And the advantages to business are huge. This is well understood. And as a matter of fact, as I think I mentioned last time, the network computer business, they're in the business of selling defined boxes. And the LTSP is an example, again, of a construction kit for building defined boxes. And what Ruben is alluding to is
one specific
another aspect
of
it, which is that most businesses if you're going to sell them a system, a so-called system, a PC system, it has to be able to do everything that they want done, or at least everything that they consider as absolutely needful to be done. This, by the way, this also means that this part of the requirement, they must already be doing it. That's a very important point. Oftentimes in this discussion, there's an implicit mistake. I think people say, well, the thing has to have X. As a matter of fact, what they really want is Y, but they've never seen Y. They have X, and so they think it has to do X. But the point is that the user will have a list of demands. They have to all actually be met in most cases, and they have to be met without the old traditional Unix and mainframe solution of paying $100,000 and having somebody cut and build you something. That is not something which a small business is going to do. And the delusion that Microsoft and the PC vendors are selling is that you buy this thing and it will actually do all these things out of the box. Now, as you know, they don't actually do it. What's surprising is they have a chance to build a defined box and sell it, and they don't. The thing actually doesn't work out of the box. So,
it's hard for you to control your exuberance.
No, it's just I was yelling. I see what you're. Okay, so what Ruben has understood, as have other people, as many people have understood, but few have done anything about it. A free software, in the first place, number one, for political and economic reasons, must get on to people's quote desktops, onto their home machines, because if we don't, it doesn't matter. We had to have every single server in the world. Suppose that, quote, every single server, I'm using the word here in brackets, because one of my best rants is the rant on the fact that the word server and client are
ridiculous,
wrong.
Yeah.
They're ridiculous. They're just boxes that communicate.
We're getting to the point where I'm going to have to write something about the unified theory of computing.
No, absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. No, but for the moment...
It's not just a matter of clients and
It's also programs.
It also has to do with programs.
They're all the same problems come up again and again.
Yeah, what is a user?
That's right.
You know, what is a user?
Absolutely.
Well, the programmer is a user. The people using your program are users, and
other programs are users.
Yes, other programmers are users. The system administrators are users.
Absolutely.
We're all users of the systems. And this becomes a big problem when people try to understand what it is that they're trying to build in terms of software.
But here in this instance, for a brief time, until we change the world in this particular aspect, which we will do. For the moment, the distinction between quote server and client here is very useful, but it's only a narrow distinction that will soon be dissolved. The server machines are the ones owned by the englobulators, and which attempt to force advertising on you, and which attempt to be used as instruments of centralized control over the rest of the world, the so-called the home PC user, the small business user. And if the situation were the following, Microsoft had, say, 95%, which it doesn't, by the way, of, quote, client machines in the world. Free software had every server, every web server, every department server. There were not a single Microsoft server in the world. In a couple of years, Microsoft could arrange to have removed all of the free software in the servers. It's very easy.
It's very simple.
It's very simple. Microsoft introduces a single product that people like.
And it has
a server component and a client component. And guess what? It only works
compatible.
Together.
Right.
And what happens is then all of
it
these
comes
people...
Down, it comes down to the same moving target problem that we have with the Quicken files.
It's
even worse.
It's closely related. It's closely related. And one of the oddest things in the antitrust trial is that although Judge Jackson was absolutely superb in his analysis, because he wasn't given the evidence, because the antitrust division of the Department of Justice and the state's antitrust lawyers don't understand this issue, they never explain the actual power relationships, and you have to be very careful. Whenever you have intercommunicating systems, You have system A and system B. You're not dealing with one particular system of type A and one particular system of type B. You have to count the numbers. How many systems are there of type A? How many systems are there of type B? And what is the political economic power of the users of systems A and B? Owners of servers have no market power whatsoever in the market for operating systems. They have none. This means that if IBM spends $10 billion on making GNU Linux a superior server platform, Microsoft spends $100 million on advertising and lies in the mass media, and that $10 billion goes down the drain.
Yeah, right down the drain.
Goes right down the drain. And that somehow these large companies are unable to see the economic slash power relationships. I don't like to use the word power because generally it's used by people on the left and sometimes the crazed right to mean something vague. Something's big, they have power. No. You have to always be very precise. And of course, the good, strong leftists who've actually taken over countries are well aware of this. By good, I mean technically competent at taking over countries and they once hoped the world. And the issue is always the correlation of forces. What are the specific powers? Where are the troops of the other side? What are their lines of communication? By the way, this vagueness works for the inglobulators, this vague talk of power. Because people say, you can't go up against Microsoft, they're so powerful. You tell me what you want to do, and I'll tell you my opinion of what forces they can bring against you, what mistakes they'll make. But I will almost never say, don't fight them because they're just so generally powerful, you can't do anything. It's not true. They're very, very weak. They live in fear. Every time a user sees a GNU Linux or a free BSD system or a well-set-up NetBSD or OpenBSD system, almost every time the user says, wow, this is great. And Microsoft, Bill Gates, trembles. Every time a user says, this is great, what is this? And Microsoft is very, very weak in that particular direction. And
okay.
That's why I'm nervous about using the word power. But in any case, he who owns the desktop owns whatever else they want with regard to...
Clearly, the competition
is... This is so clear, and
Let me just explain this very quick, because it's so simple that everything else is just ridiculous even to think about it. It's simply a matter of whoever has the desktop controls the eyes and the ears of the user, and that's the market. The talk about you're going to have services on a server, and you're not going to control the desktop means you're not going to...
Let's attack.
There's nothing to even attack. If you have their eyes and their ears, then that's it.
Right. No, I disagree. I'm not disagreeing with what you're saying straight. I'm disagreeing with the mistake that people answer to you. They say, oh, no, the markets are different. You need a different kind of operating system on the server.
Well, that's another mistake.
Perhaps that's true, but no, this is the mistake they defend themselves. And I say to them, whether you need a different kind of operating system on the server from the kind of operating system on the client, it's irrelevant. Because what's the move by the company or government which controls the client machines, the home machines, the small business machines, the machines people use to send email, surf the web, listen to music, watch movies? It's because they just have to offer one service. The people who own the client operating system, which only their servers can deliver to their clients, and that's it.
They can control what you see, and they can just simply make it incompatible to anything
that's
you
right.
build. You're always and the idea is, as we're trying to do, and this is very focused to getting back to the accounting desktop, we're very focused on actually breaking that hold. We want to create a circumstance where the desktop is not beholden to things like Quicken Files, ultimately,
you know,
because nobody's using
terrific
it.
Terrific importance.
Yeah, and that's the critical reason why the desktop.
And we
so
have to
I,
do
this
it.
Is not to say that I don't appreciate the work that IBM is doing, and I do.
No. This is not a question. It's a question here of tactics
question of,
and strategy.
Question of,
IBM
is completely wrong.
This alone
tactic.
Is enough.
They're completely
obviously you need the $1 billion. We can always do if any listeners have $1 billion,
we're
and they
want to
do some good. consult with us immediately. We can probably do it for under $1 billion, what you want to do.
Maybe even less than 300. Or 300 million.
300 million. Yeah. Might be able to do it for less than 300. We don't know. It depends on what
you
want to
do. With 300 million, I think I can get the tax software up and running.
Yeah, we probably get the tax software. By the way.
Getting back, though, to what I just want to.
Yeah, sure.
Getting back to the accounting desktop that we're trying to promote, of course, it's one of the major things that we're trying to do is ultimately be able to get the situation where we are talking to a database system that uses a standard SQL syntax. We can even have SOAP or whatever .gnu stuff that they want to use on the back end. I don't really care what XML stuff is. But the bottom line is that we want the data eventually to reside on a database server so that the data can be uniformly grabbed by any application anybody decides to build on top of the accounting practice.
Absolutely.
Which gets back to something, I'll come back to it later when I discuss the speech I'm going to do for the French trip. But one of the points that I make there is that it's very important that not only there's three things that we want to protect. First of all, we are very serious, unlike the proprietary companies have claimed otherwise. We are very serious about protecting the right to innovate, and getting the stuff onto the database server for the accounting desktop is a very large part of that. The other thing is that
let me just interject. It helps interoperability. The problem with all these
databases do very good at what they're doing. It's an old design. It's a 40-year-old design or 50-year-old design already, and clearly it's nothing that needs to be all that perfected anymore.
I need one more interjection here. I'm quoted in the jargon file as saying, obviously, the only proper programming language is the lower predicate calculus. Mm-hmm. And today,
which means
the lower predicate calculus is called SQL.
Now, the other thing is that we also want to protect the ability of we want to protect our ability to innovate. We need to defend also the ability of others to use our innovations. That's two.
Horribly, we want to defend their ability to compete with us.
Now here's that's the third one.
That's
the
a horror.
Third. Now, but the thing that makes free software difference and why we need to be able to push free software is not only do we want to be able to do the first two, which closed source software also theoretically wants to do. But we also want to source secret software.
Right, I like source secret.
The third thing that we absolutely need to do, which is critical for civilization, for freedom, is we also need to be able to get a situation where we're also protecting the ability of others to innovate on our innovations.
Absolutely.
And I will come back to that again. In any event, which is a term I decided I was going to try to not say on the radio, but I only said it once so far. In any event.
That's okay. In any event,
we need to get the HR stuff, and we want everything hopefully to be on the same database.
What's HR?
Human resources.
Got it.
Billing practice stuff we need to get, and the collaboration software is already available to us already through Postgres, not through Postgres, through the PHPware thing, which I'm a little weary of because I'm very concerned that a lot of these PHP applications are using PHP 4 and that engine is not free software, and that's a problem. It's a huge problem as we become increasingly dependent on these cute little PHP programs that have become so powerful over time that we're tying ourselves to the PHP core, and they yank that core out from beneath us, and we're up Schitt's Creek the same way we would have been up Schitt's Creek if we would have had the same problem with the Qt libraries with KDE. Nevertheless, I have to really do a further look at that. I'm going to be talking to Richard about this in France when I get a chance to talk to him, or maybe I'll talk to somebody else that Richard tells me to talk to about the PHP problem. But the PHP groupware server, which Phil Glazer showed us at the last demo, the CUNY demo, is really quite impressive. I mean, when they first told me it was PHP, I said, no, I don't want it, because it was just PHP, and I don't want it. I don't like the programming language. I'm not thrilled with the potential security holes. I don't feel the people that are involved with PHP really fully understand the potential problems for security and for networking issues in general. But this was very impressive. It's too impressive to pass up. So we're going to be looking at that, and I'm definitely going to, and because I'm now committing myself emotionally to, and to the organization to some degree, to this PHP groupware function as something to use instead of the Exchange server situation, that means that I'm definitely going to start looking at further at the PHP issue. As far as its licensing is concerned, and we just might find ourselves in 6 months from now looking at a campaign from NYLXS to actually free that core engine up.
Uh-huh. I don't know anything about this. Let me just interject here. Lessons from academic computer engineering and mathematics. If you have a system and the inputs and outputs, inputs and outputs are defined, they can be understood, they're useful, and the system is debugged, this is a great insight for many purposes, but it has to be thoroughly debugged, and it has to be thoroughly capable. It doesn't matter what language it's written in, whether it's written in assembler, whether it's written in crazy C. I've heard that Procmail is written in crazy C.
I thought it was written
or
in
PHP
Perl.
Groupware. If PHP groupware, I'm leaving aside the issue of licensing, but if you have a component and it really functions as a component,
it clearly functions. It's a wonderful.
Then guess what?
Good.
Who cares what it was written in? Now, no, it can be important economically and socially.
It's not so important to me what's written in, even though I don't like the PHP programming language. I'm adamant about that, and for the reasons that we've discussed previously,
sure,
not
sure
on the radio show, but if anybody has caught my rantings on this.
Yeah, sure.
But there's a... But, you know what? I don't like a lot of things, but I use them. I don't care, you know. If it's an application, and I'm a user on the application end of it, I really don't care. I know enough PHP work, and hack PHP anyway if I needed to. But the thing is that... I'm sure that if I had to hack something Lisp, I could have had to.
Ah,
but the thing is about it is
you're
that...
You're a native Lisp fan. You just don't know it yet.
No, that's not true. But
it is true.
Yeah. Jay's going to...
It is true.
Jay's going to reprogram my dyslexia. Anyway, the bigger issue, though, from using it as an application is that core... If it's written on PHP 3, there's no problem. If it's written on PHP 4, there's a bigger problem.
Well, this is the license issue.
Yes, that's the license issue. And the licensing issue cannot be just ignored.
No. Licensing is, you know, look, we're for free software. We're not for not free software. And that's where, you know, that's it. It's not something else.
Now, the other thing is, getting back to the accounting system, so we have the collaboration software. We have the SQL Ledger, which is really it looks like it's a very promising product for running the businesses out of the accounting firms and setting up individual business accounts and so on. And then we have the toughest problem is going to be handling the integrated tax stuff and the project management, which is the other part, the project management software, that too has to be handled. But you know what? We got a great running start. We got Alex Chan involved. We got Joe Maffey involved now, and I am really, and Ron Guerin is working on the templates for the open office stuff. So I really, at this point, am more optimistic about this than at any time. And you know what? Once we start picking, you know, the plan, if you go back and read under the resources section some of the writings that I wrote about where we go from here, the plan of picking off one industry at a time in our local area, and our local area happens to be New York, which is kind of hard to call it local with anything, but pulling off is very critical. And once we pick off the accounting business, and of course we're going to be able to offer off the accountants something that they don't have right now, which is including strong encryption. But then we can, the accounting business in New York is huge. It's a huge market. We're going to fly it open. And then when the next economic upturn comes through, or even we'll be leading it, hopefully, actually, if we do this, we will not only be leading it, but we will be driving the economy. And it's going to be so satisfying personally for me after all the hard work. And I can't tell you how many insulting blows I've taken from people. But anybody who's watched some of the Flame Wars that's gone on knows I take a lot of heat because people consider me somewhat of a raving lunatic and intolerant. But if we start generating real jobs for people so that they're working with exclusively or nearly exclusively free software in their job environments, you know, I'm going to buy a plot in a cemetery at that point and just rent a room in a hospital and get ready to die at that point happily, because that will be it. Everything will be, I will know that I have then solidified the future for my children. And on that note, we'll take a 10-second break as we move on to the next thing that we're going to be talking about, which is a more lightweight topic, which is going to be our plans for our social cruise. And I'll see you in 10 seconds. Okay, welcome back to www.nylxs.com radio, and we're now moving into our second part. You know, it's amazing, when we did this radio show when we first started, we decided that we were going to try to do it like in an hour and a half, and it's just not enough time. And I guess this is the advantage and the disadvantage of doing something like this, is that we can basically make our own schedule. Hopefully we don't bore people to death, but what's kind of interesting is just not enough time. We just blew an hour talking about the accounting desktop proposal, and clearly we could have gone on another half hour without a problem. But now I want to talk about something that's a little more fun. This will hopefully be a shorter segment. We, and I will be putting out the announcement on the NYLXS announcement list coming out probably tonight or tomorrow. We are going to be doing our first social program, which will be a cruise around New York Harbor, a lovely midnight moonlit cruise for you to bring both your significant others along with you, which for many of us is our mothers and our grandmothers. And for me, the way my life has been going lately, it will probably be my parrot. And we are going... Actually, my parrot would do good in this cruise. And we're going to dance, and we are going to drink, and we are going to relax. And this is not going to be inexpensive. It's not going to be all fun and no play, because this is going to be a fundraiser also for our educational building initiative. It's going to be probably $200 a seat, which is a pretty significant donation by people. And we'll have to see how we work out other people who have financial needs and get to, because we don't want to exclude anybody from the fun. But the thing is, I'm hoping this is going to be a smashing success, and I think that we're going to get Richard Stallman probably to speak for us at that. I hope Richard doesn't get seasick. And then we're going to party. And I got to tell you something. I'm from Brooklyn. Not only am I from Brooklyn, but I was 13 years old in 1976 when the Saturday Night Fever disco craze was first hitting. So knowing how to party is, I mean, my generation invented this. So I know clearly how to party, and I am looking so forward to hitting the dance floor and dancing with a penguin. I just can't tell you. So, or even a cow. not insulting anybody, we're talking about a GNU cow. But I'd like to tell everybody that's out there that originally I was aiming for late July, but now I have to go to France next week, so we're not going to be able to push it off. So I'll talk to Richard when I'm in Europe.
When do you go to France?
I go to France on the 7th of July, which is next week.
The 7th of July?
Yes.
I thought it was the 19th.
No, I'm coming back on the 15th.
Okay, got it. Understood.
So hopefully we'll talk to him. We'll nail down a date with Richard on this. Richard, Michael Richardson has got the information on one cruise in out of Manhattan. I'm looking. Originally, the idea was to take a cruise out of Sheepshead Bay here in Brooklyn.
There are lots of cruises. There are lots of interesting cruise ships. There are many more than there were when I was your age.
Yes. Although there were probably more boats in the water back then than there are
no,
today.
There were, well, but actually, the harbor was pretty much... Right, there was not much... right. But there are lots of cruise ships, cruise boats of different sorts.
Mm-hmm.
There are sailing vessels. They're just every different kind. Well,
I am really looking forward to this. I really want to do this at Sheepshead Bay because I'm familiar with the boats down there, and people don't know Sheepshead Bay, and they don't know how gorgeous it really is. It's like Fisherman's Wharf in San Francisco.
Absolutely.
It's just, I mean, it's gorgeous. Sure. And, of course, people, of course, don't really, when you go by boat to New York Harbor, it's the same harbor, and so they don't realize that also. But and I already have contacts down there because I know the fishermen's vessels that also double as party boats because
they
go fishing all the time. Right. So... but nevertheless, Michael's looking at something impossible in Manhattan. The thing is that I'm just looking. You know, I am so – I don't know about everybody else, but I want to tell everybody who doesn't know this organization, if you just happen to stumble into our radio site, you're either listening to us live or, as most people do, listen to us, the archives, I got to tell you, this is the hardest working group on the face of the earth. Really, they are. I mean, this group, I can never say enough good things about them. I mean, we squabble and we've had recent squabbles, as a matter of fact, in the last couple of weeks.
Look, the beatings will continue until... All right.
But I cannot tell you how hard they work. You know, when we came back from that CUNY demo, you remember when we came home that night from the CUNY demo?
The CUNY demo. I just have to interrupt you.
We came home, we were so tired, we just crashed.
The stupidest, one of the most ill-planned, one of the most laughable, complete success, smash hits I've ever seen in my life, and I only saw the past hour, and I was under the influence of drugs, and not good ones, but it was incredible. There's a little room there with an extraordinary ceiling, all these lights floating above it, and then 15 huge screens, each one displaying a different facet of free software. And of those 15, if you showed every one of them, you showed that screen to a sales prospect,
you'd make the sale.
That's right.
Yeah.
That would make the deal.
Without a doubt. The from the point of view of the organization itself, right, the internal politics of the organization and how the organization feels about itself as members, right, we had a couple of watershed things that we did. When we went down to D.C., we came back psyched.
I could not come down to D.C.
Richard Weinberg, when
something.
We came back from D.C., he was just walking on air. He was walking on air. And Joe Gustaro was extremely happy with it, despite
the
fact that he almost walked
out
on us halfway
mocked.
In Baltimore.
People most mocked the direct approach to Congress people. I know Ruben has said this many a time on various lists, and I'm sure has said it on the radio show, but let me just say it, too. Why does Congress fall for the lies of the inglobulators? Not because they're crooked, not because they're bribed, but because they only hear one side of the story. And it's a difficult, complex, and subtle set of issues that are being dealt with. Congress people don't understand most of them.
Congressmen are interested in one on one thing. People who don't understand this just simply don't. First of all, there's a big difference between me and a lot of people, especially a lot of people in the free software movement, is that a lot of people in the free software, I am a huge believer in the American political system and American democracy. And I see that most of the problems that we have with the American political system and American democracy is varying degrees of lack of participation.
Lack of participation, lack of faith.
And
they say you can't fight them.
This is just nonsense.
They have $100 million to pay for campaign fees, right?
That's
pay
fun.
For campaign. And the answer is when Rubin and the other six or seven people went
Seth
down
Johnson,
there, right?
Who's usually
now,
helpful in this.
The work they did didn't roll back all of the work of the lobbyists for the inglobulators.
No.
But you know something?
But
it took a sizable chunk out of their hide.
You know, we had a huge, people underestimate what kind of impact that we had when we were up there. It seems like we did such a little thing, and we are not pursuing this as tightly as I'd like at this point.
To go down to Washington again. So.
Well, we got to go down to Washington. Before we go down to Washington, D.C. again, we have to start hitting the streets again. But aside from that issue for a moment, when we went down to D.C., we had a very large impact among the junior staff members of not only Wiener's office, which is the only congressman that we spoke to, but all the contacts that Wiener's staff member Lamar Robinson spoke to. And they have come to really everybody now on Capitol Hill because of our efforts. And not just our effort, but other people's efforts also, but
absolutely.
Largely because of our efforts. I have to say, honestly, we should take credit largely because of our efforts in New York. They have largely stopped now to think that, you know what, we have constituents back in Brooklyn and in Milwaukee and in San Francisco and in Atlanta, you know, as much
we
as I
will
hate
vote
Atlanta,
them out
that really care
don't.
About these issues, and we better watch how we vote on this because – the thing that Congress people – there's two things about the American system that's unique about the American system as opposed to other democratic systems, both of them which play into our hands and we just don't realize it. First of all is that because of the way that we have the Congress broken down from the executive branch in this country, there is only one national election for the president. All other politics in America are local
that's
politics.
Right. That's right.
Every single congressman wants to take responsibility for putting a stoplight in front of your on a busy intersection,
that's
despite
right.
the fact that it's a local government issue,
that's
because
right.
they want to pander to, and I use that word not in the most negative connotation that it could be used, but they want to pander to
yes.
the local constituency. Politics in America is local, and it's really true that grassroots organization on a Tammany Hall like basis,
absolutely.
Not necessarily with the corruption, but that kind of organization has a huge impact on the on how congressmen get elected and how they vote. All right, and I really ask everybody that's involved. I would say, no, let me rephrase that. I was going to say I would like to invite everybody who's involved with free software. Forget this. I want to invite every American
absolutely
in this country to join a local political party and to get out petitions for your candidate of choice or for the organization of your choice. Take the back seat and accept the fact that you're one voter of many. But be aware that your involvement in the local political system in getting petitions to get people on the ballot, knocking people off the ballot for that matter who run against you, gives you a stronger voice and allows you access to the congressman in ways that you didn't realize was really possible. And the benefits that are doled out to these organizations, these are not corrupt deals. These organizations get people elected, and when the jobs come through for federal jobs or contracts and you need the inside track and so on, they're ready to give it to you because they're there to play ball. And this is not a bad thing. This is the greatest thing about the American democracy, is that Congress is open for business.
Congress is responsive because guess what?
Because they care about the votes. They want to stay
because
elected.
Because you actually vote for who gets into Congress. People, as I say, there's this delusion that these lobbyists can have direct effects, and they can't.
And you actually
campaign. Nobody's watching and nobody's voting, right? They can just sneak something past.
That's exactly what happened to the DMCA.
Exactly.
And you know what? I think that the DMCA was to come to vote today, it would not pass.
It could not pass, because people realize that what it means is they don't get to listen to the music that they want to listen to in their computers. And people are coming to understand that that's only a small part of it. They're coming to understand the issue is, who owns your computer? Do you own it, or do the inglobulates?
And of course, part of it is also, and of course, now we're way off what originally the segment was supposed to be on,
supposed to be on
us going on a party boat.
No, it's the same subject.
But
people have to get together to organize, because a lone individual coming down there and saying the things that I say, or even the things that Ruben says, would be seen as being a nut. But five or six of us, when we're part drunk,
that's
still from the cruise,
yeah,
and we're full of a black energy and a red energy, and we're telling them the truth.
I really wanted to have Wiener to do the be the speaker for this, but what happened was
who would be speaker?
I wanted Wiener to be the speaker for this. You know, I wanted to actually invite Wiener to speak
Wiener
at this.
Wiener might very well speak.
He's not going to speak at this because right now. With the this is for those who don't know Brooklyn.
I don't know Brooklyn.
It's very Jewish, and right now Israel is embroiled in a huge problem.
There are other problems in the world other than free software, but none of them is unrelated to free software.
No, and I think I make
but
that point.
Not, some of them are not directly related.
Now we get
today.
Back. Actually, now we get back to my French speech, and we're going to see how all these things tie together.
Ruben has a long speech.
It's not
going to
be today.
Excellent speech.
It's not going to be just right now yet. But anyway, we definitely want to, and I'm really looking forward to spending a night out with my friends. I have to tell you guys that are in ALNYLXS, I can run through the list of people. First of all, there's Marco and Paul and Joe Costara, Joe Valeri, Evan Inker, who has been my friend for years. I can't tell you how much I love you, Evan. Also, Brett Weinkoop, Jay Salzberger.
Well, I have to mention one person, but not by name. J.E., our parliamentarian, who had a critical moment at the formation of NYLXS, helped the process along immensely, although an outsider might not have been able to recognize it.
Billy Donahue, Joanne Cripps.
Yes, where's Joanne Cripps? Joanne, wait, I have to cry out here. Joanne.
Don't cry out, you've blown up the levels.
Come and write us, come and call us.
Joanne Cripps and David Katz and Liz Arum, who I can never get through a broadcast without mentioning her name, of course. Kevin Mulaney,
yep.
Kevin Marks.
Right.
You
mentioned Michael Richardson, right?
Yes, I said Michael Richardson right off the top. Joe Mafia. Juan Gonzalez, who also works for Mafia and Rosen Zweig.
And Paul Rodriguez.
I said Paul Rodriguez.
Oh, you did, okay.
And Paul Rodriguez's mothers and brothers, all who filled up the CUNY demo for us.
I didn't know that. Yeah. I arrived late, as I said.
David Sugar.
Yeah, David Sugar, of course.
David Sugar. These people.
David Sugar is not only a ranter, but more importantly, a designer and coder.
Well, David sort of rants in monotone, but.
These rant.
These people, I want to tell you all individually that you have been just, you know, for me personally, you have been a godsend to me in my life personally. And I love you all as friends more than you could possibly imagine. And
we wouldn't love you so much if you didn't cook so well, Ruben.
I am so glad to have, and also Ron Guerin, I'm so glad to have been to be associated with you people, and I am so looking forward to partying with you guys because we worked so hard. We have worked so hard. You know, Marco goes to me the other day. He says to me, "We went to I won't say whose other meeting it was, but I'll tell you, it wasn't Nylog this time." And
I'll tell them all.
No,
it's a fine thing called the GNU Society.
No, it wasn't the GNU Society. Marco went to see a thing with me, where we were going to try to help out another organization by filling seats with them.
What are you talking about? What organization could this possibly be?
I don't give a damn about telling it right now. I'm not going to tell the name of the organization. I'm not going to disparage any other organization on the air or mostly even in private.
Okay.
But when Marco came out of this organization, he says to me, you know, all these other meetings that I go to now, they're all boring. And I said, I looked at him and I said, I know, Marco. He goes, they don't do anything. I said, I know, Marco. He says, don't they ever accomplish anything? I said, well, Marco, you know, I said, Marco, you know, no, as a matter of fact, you know, we are unique in this matter. I said, you know, and that's when Marco's life started, I think, going on to some degree when he started realizing that, you know, this organization has not been easy to put together, but it has been, it's an interesting thing how this organization has come together historically and why this party is going to be so good. First of all, it wouldn't be the first time we've actually partied because most of this organization actually came out of our classes, out of the educational program. That's number one. Number two is that they formulated it out of our classes, and of course, whenever I give a class, I tell them right off the bat that I'm the purpose of me giving a class for $200
right.
is because I'm here to indoctrinate you about free software, so if you don't want that, then don't take the class. But they have come out, historically also, this was true when I used to teach the New School, so revved up and working so hard, and they have come together, and every one of these people have given a sizable chunk of their time and energy to this organization, and for their own personal, you know, everybody for their own reasons and for their own personal benefits. And the result has been is that we have formed just the greatest cadre of individuals. Now we're so exhausted that we're almost like in downtime mode.
Some
at this
of us
point.
Aren't exhausted. We've been getting a lot of sleep.
Well, we
just want to mention
the organization itself is taking a pause at this point. It's clearly it's taking a pause. But if you're an employee and you, or if you're an employer and you wrote down any of those names that I went through, by all means, hire these people. They will give you 130% of anything you got them. They're all honest. They're hardworking. They are have high levels of integrity. And all these people, when they say that to the most part that something is going to be done ABC on Monday, you can bet your bottom dollar that on Monday ABC is going to be done. And of course, nobody has gotten paid to the most part for anything that we've done, and it's been really a volunteer effort. And the way it's come about, the organization, the way it's come about, has been, you know, the original discussions that we had back and forth about how we want to do things. Do we want to have paid membership, which is something I insisted on? Everybody thought I was nuts. I was, of course, correct in this analysis. Not that I'm correct in every analysis, but this one I was right in. And then, you know, I gave good compromising ground to other people when they wanted to make it a volunteer hour basis organization. When they understood that my main goal was to get volunteer time out of people, and the net result has been that people have come out and they've given the volunteer time that's necessary, and they're just beautiful people. And this is going to be our chance to celebrate our 6 months of successes. And
when was the organization formally founded?
May.
I've forgotten. When?
In May.
May?
May. Can you imagine that?
May?
In May.
So it's over a year old now.
No. Oh, wait.
It's over a year old.
No way. It couldn't have been in May.
I don't know when.
No, it must have been in November. May was NY Fair Use. Okay. This organization was formulated in November. So
November,
basically,
okay.
No, it was
so
right after the destruction of the World Trade Center, right? Because that's what
it was after
the World Trade Center precipitated the events that eventually formulated the organization. It wasn't directly related to the World Trade Center, but it was something in serendipitously involved with that. But so November, December, January, February, 7 months, six, seven months. I mean, our laundry list of accomplishments is just huge.
8 months, Okay.
And that's that. So this is going to be our party. And guys, you have completely earned it. And I invite you to bring your relatives on this boat to the party. Bring your mother. Bring your father. I know it's expensive. But the money that's going to be generated is going to be going directly to building our building for our Free Software Institute, which is the driving engine for much of what we do. And so it's certainly a good donation. Hopefully we're going to have a tax status finished by then so that it'll be a tax deductible
Let me just put a word
also.
In here. There are some formalities to be gone through. And in addition, you know, arrangements have to be made, substantive arrangements. As far as I can tell, NYLXS has mostly done the substantive work of getting to the point of becoming a certain kind of organization. I think it's one of the types of nonprofits. I simply don't keep track of this. There remains a matter of paying some professionals to draw up the papers, after which NYLXS will be in a position to see some more. The Free Software Institute and NYLXS will be in a position to have money coming in regularly beyond what it already has because of membership dues and because, of course, of the class, the prices of the classes. There'll be more classes aimed at different audiences, different classes of students, but there will also be the same old classes. That I'm sure of. And it's going to come soon, and the organization does need a little bit extra money at this point.
What we're going to do now is take a 10-second break, and we'll be back with you to discuss the France our representation at the Libre Software in France.
Free Software Gathering in France and in Bordeaux,
and we'll
of all
be,
places.
We'll be, yes, and it happens to be during the Tour de France, so I hope we get a chance to see a little bit of that. And we'll be discussing that in 10 seconds, and stay tuned. Okay, welcome back to www.nylx.com radio. We now want to talk about the wonderful invitation that we've gotten to go to France, to the city of Bordeaux, France, between July 9th and July 13th in the year 2002, to the Libre Software Meeting. Let me first give you a URL for this meeting. It's http://lsm.abul.org. And to repeat that one more time.
Sorry.
And to repeat that one more time, the URL is http://lsm.abul.org. Now, if you go to that website, you'll see if you happen to be in France that week, in which case I'd be happy to meet with you and have a drink. Okay. They are from reading right off from the website, it says from July 19th to July 13th, 2002, will take place near Bordeaux, the third Libre Software Movement at the ENSIBR, I don't know what that is, E-N-S-E-I-R-B, on the campus of the University of Bordeaux in France, as if Bordeaux could be in another city or in another country. You never know with the French, you know. It's, they may have been invaded again this month. I'm sure that probably just got me uninvited. Anyway, this meeting is organized by the ABU, the Association of Bordeaux, Les Ultimates de la Libérateurs, whatever. All right. That is the Liberal Software Users Group of Bordeaux. Okay. Which already organized the first and second LSM with the help of this year, the AFUL, AFAUL, in April. The goal of the Liberal Software Meeting is to set up a single place where many people as possible will be able to share information and gather their energies towards large-scale projects. Now, this is very interesting what it says here, and I'll explain why in a second. It is open to every people willing to contribute to Libre Software. And of course, we've always had this discussion, and I had this discussion with Richard about the word free software and how confusing it is, and I don't want to go back and forth in this right now, but in France, they're calling this Liberal Software, liberated software, which was one of my suggestions.
Free software, literally. Mm-hmm. Libéré would be the word. It just means free, but it's in the sense of freedom. Free isn't freedom.
Well, you can't take away the etymology of the word is liberal. I mean...
Absolutely, they're the same word.
Okay. Real. It is open to every people willing to contribute to liberal software, project leaders, developers, translators, advanced users, etc. This event is absolutely non-commercial. Participation is free to every in every meaning of the word. I'm not sure if I would have personally have segregated out the commercial aspects. I think that free world needs to have free commerce also. In any event, that's what they have done. In the meantime, we will also take place dedicated a large... Okay, in the meantime... This is a bad translation in English. In the meantime, we'll also take place events... Okay.
At the same time,
to a larger audience... including demonstrations and workshops on the interest of liberated software for education, for instance. So what that sentence means in very twisted translation is that in the meantime, no, that's not what it means either.
It actually means at the same time.
So, what we want to do, what the sentence is trying to actually say is what we want to do is to make this event dedicated to a larger audience, including demonstration workshops on the interest of liberal software for education and other applications, for instance. That's what it means.
Yeah.
So here's the deal. My friend David Sugar, who is a member of our organization, has invited me to go to France with him about this, and then had forgotten about it. Actually, for various reasons, David thought I didn't want to have anything to do with the French that week, and we won't get into all the reasons why he would think that, because those are highly personal. But in any event, he was wrong, and I reminded him that I would actually like to represent NYLXS there. So at the last minute, he arranged through their generosity in France to pay for my tickets to go there and to give a speech. Now, prior to actually reading the website or even knowing what I was actually signing up for, David said it was good. I wanted to go. And Richard Stolman was going to be speaking, so this was a good chance for me to, talk to Richard and to be with David to take care of some cross-organizational business, perhaps. And so I wanted to go, and they acquiesced to having me go, and I'm very happy with them. I'd like to thank the people who were there a great deal for paying for this trip, to the most part. Now, the But prior to knowing exactly what this was about and their agenda here, which is to make as large an audience available to free software as possible, I started writing my speech I was so excited about going that particular afternoon. And the name of my speech, by coincidence, was The Bigger Tent. That's the name of my speech.
The Big Tent.
The Bigger Tent.
The Bigger
Tent. How to Create a Bigger Tent is basically the name of it. Now, it's something that I had been thinking about for a while because of some events that had taken place between me and people on the WWWAC list about and how I felt it was really important to have and that people seem to be missing the point that for free software to really be effective, it has to be not only does it have to be source code free and licensing free, but the spirit of the software has to be such that we want all users to use our software at their ability, capabilities, and for their own personal growth. And this is one of my major themes that I have in any event, in all the rantings and ravings that I do around the internet and in a live person. And what happened was, I wrote this, started writing this speech, and it so happened that when I got done reading the speech, I come to the webpage and I go, you see this? My speech is exactly their agenda. So it works out really well. Because their agenda is to break new ground and to try to show software and how it can get even a larger audience than it currently is and why it should be getting a larger audience than it is. And my purpose of my speech is to actually lay down the theological basis, for lack of a better word, although some people would be upset at me using religious terminology to discuss this. But the purpose of my speech is to lay down the logical reasons why it is that we absolutely in free software need to create as large of a tent as possible for everybody in order to really accomplish the goals that we really all want, whether we realize it or not. So I'm going to give you a dry run of the speech. Now, normally, when I give speeches, and I've been doing this a lot lately, unfortunately, I never work off written material. However, in this case, I had felt that the points that I wanted to make, and especially since they're spending almost $1,500 for me to go to France in the first place to make this speech, that I wanted to be assured that I hit all my points correctly, exactly as I wanted them. So in this case, I'm making a little bit more of an effort to actually memorize it. So in this case, I'm going to be actually reading to you the speech off the screen. So if it sounds a little less fluid than I normally am, I hope that it works out well anyway. Okay, so here we go. Getting a bigger tent, free software's endgame. On the morning of September 11th, 2001, in the middle of one of the most happiest times of my life, on the most beautiful morning I can ever remember, and while sitting in my sunlit office, I can remember as if it happened this morning, the email on my GNU desktop is ringing, and I looked over and saw 117 messages at 8 o'clock in the morning on my inbox, which was normally has nothing more than a dozen overnight posts. Thinking that this is weird, I opened up the mail and I saw a message subject, "Holy cow, the World Trade Center has just been hit." I opened the message thinking to myself, "Oh no, not again," and shaking my head. And the message that I read said that all the TV stations are off the air, which was rather unusual. So I turned on my television capture card, and indeed all the stations but Channel 2 was off the air. 4, 5, 7, 9, 11, 13, 21, 25, 31, 41, 45, they were all gone. And I watched the North Tower burning on Channel 2 when a second plane hit the South Tower. So while I'm reading my mail and corresponding with friends the whole time, I can remember getting a message from my friend Billy Donahue where he writes that it's raining paper in his neighborhood across the river in Brooklyn. So I put my video on record and ran out the door towards the disaster. When the first tower collapsed, I was stunned, not by disbelief so much, but I was just fuming with more emotion than I could possibly process. Anger, depression, confusion, frustration were all simultaneously competing for my attention. I just wanted to be closer to help, but all entry to Lower Manhattan from Brooklyn was blocked off that morning, and there was no way in until later. The towers themselves were a great symbol of hope and pride. Those who had never had the experience of seeing them on the glass-scene-like harbor, almost as if they were floating on water, glimmering in sunlight, can never really fully appreciate the loss to our city on that day. Our hearts and our souls were tied to the symbolism of that tower. Constantly exploited for their imagery and thrill, New Yorkers had come to identify with the towers in a very personal way. The civilization which attacked our city and strike at the spirit of New York, leaving dust on a fireball, destroying without a trace thousands of individuals, is an organization which strikes at New York's great message to the world. Through liberty and freedom springs hope and opportunity. New York is a wide tent which stretches out its arms to all, the womb of freedom for all people of all races and ethnic groups, the world's greatest symbol of freedom. And those who attacked us attacked the foundation of freedom and the progress only possible through inclusion. They are excluders. We, as New Yorkers, are includers, and we can never forget that. Free software, at its best, is a tool for inclusion. Free software is the best hope for a future of enabled individuals, communities, and industry. Like all legitimate movements of freedom, free software faces detractors with proclamations of efficacy and effectiveness. But we should all know that the only proven efficacy for societal growth and prosperity is a healthy dose of freedom. 226 years ago, on the soil of my hometown in Brooklyn, in August of that summer of 1776, our city was called upon to stand up for the budding freedom of the American colonies as a stage for the first and largest battle of the American Revolution. As we mark this summer, I can't help but recalling that through the cooperation and spilled blood of both our town and the French people, we eventually overcame the bleak outlook after the defeat of that day to bring forth to the world a nation of peace, freedom, and tolerance. From that day forward, my hometown had become the home of multiples of people's nations, unlike any other place in the world before or since. It's my hope today Brooklyn and the city of New York can again find themselves as allies in the cause of freedom with this great nation of France. Free software is the only way of assuring a future of prosperity and security for all peoples of the world. Only through freedom to associate, to come together and collaborate in solving our problems, can we hope to assure that these wonderful tools which we use for our expression, our industry, our education, continue to remain as free as our press and as our governments. Our job as users, marketeers, promoters, and programmers of free software is to assure the creation of the widest possible tent. We welcome all individuals to participate with free software. We welcome them to code and to use free software to enrich their lives. We hope that they can find in free software the fundamental freedom to express themselves and to become fulfilled. While it is essential to the business plan of every proprietary closed computing system to entangle the user and to limit the use of digital tools, for free software, the essential goal is the opposite. Our goal is to provide free software for everyone. Our goal is to empower the individual through their software, regardless of people's wealth, background, or ethnicity. We offer everyone a stake in the future, a future which promises to be filled with digital communications and increasing dependency on computers for our daily lives. Digital devices are the future for education, entertainment, and all of our information needs. The mass murderers who attacked my city, a city of immigrants, tolerance, and fruitful coexistence, these murderers are believers in ethnic purity and religious autocracy. They attack us out of fear of our open door, of our tolerance, and our freedom. In the same vein, those who use software to exploit people, to manipulate them, and to limit our potential as a civilization, these are individuals who wish to autocratically decide what we can read, what we can listen to, and how we share. They abuse their copyright monopolies and are attempting to prevent the private ownership of our computers and our software. They strike with ferocity at free software. They intend to undermine our system, our freedom and our open markets. They jail us for reverse engineering our systems, alter formats to limit our access to their systems, spread lies about the benefits of our products, and they wrap the entire process in the flag, claiming that they are the righteous victims. These copyright monopoly tyrants claim that they are threatened and weak. They cry that they need government protection from the public with wiretapping, forced contracts, and police action. And we, as free people, are standing here together, shoulder to shoulder, to say that we are not going to take this anymore. It is the responsibility of every free software user and every free software developer to encourage individual empowerment by demanding a free platform for our communications infrastructure. We must reach out to the disenfranchised, those of us who, through circumstances, are left out of the mainstream economy and who are marginalized by racism or by national origin. We should reach out to those who have not had the opportunity to fulfill their true potential. Individuals and nations which live in poverty and disease, and the children in our cities and around the world, can only be guaranteed the opportunity to improve their lives and their legacy if they can live in freedom. Proprietary software models can never provide for us the freedom necessary for self-empowerment. And government policies such as the American Digital Millennium Copyright Act can only be used to further exploit all of us, especially the poor. It prevents free trade and fair competition. It limits economic growth, and it's stifling creativity. All non-free software systems prevent participation by all, reserving the benefits of development and publication to only a few undeserving software firms, movie producers, and music distributors, at the expense of our economy and our political freedom. Nearly every economist worth their title will admit that the driving force behind economic growth is not through corporate giants. It's the small and medium-sized businesses which drive the economy. Individuals in their local areas employ more people and generate more wealth than Ford and Sony. These hard-working and creative people produce the goods and services which drive our free economy. How can we expect the budding graphic artist, bookseller, industrialist to develop our future economy without providing the opportunity to create and exploit new technologies in their communities? In fact, all major industries of today originated as small businesses at great risk to the individual businessman. Our car industry sprang forth from creative experimentation in barns throughout and across the West. Our airline industry developed from adventurous mechanics who learned from each other's failures and successes. Our media giants sprang from small-time movie producers and radio broadcasters. And each of these success stories underline the need for education, shared experience, and free competition. Isaac Newton correctly observed that his insights and brilliance was only possible because of the knowledge learned by his colleagues and predecessors. Mankind's unique ability to create is actually grounded in our ability to adapt new applications onto existing ideas. Shakespeare, by the standards that today's movie moguls and media moguls would have us believe, is a thief. He lifted ideas almost verbatim and stories from Marlowe and writers before him, and yet Shakespeare is clearly unique and simply reused the material around him for new creations. Jazz music and rap music similarly reuse material. We stand here today in the infancy of the digital communications revolution. Can we have any doubt that in the future nearly all music, literature, and works of nonfiction will be available mostly through digital means? Under these conditions, can there be any doubt that our ability to reuse the cultural materials all around us will become badly impaired if we continue to be dependent on software models designed to exploit us? How severely impaired will all our means of creating new material be? How suppressed will our become our economic growth? Economic growth is dependent on invention and creativity. We must protect our freedom to innovate. We must protect the rights of others to utilize our innovations, and we must protect the rights of others to improve on our innovations. There exists within the ranks of the computing industry people who feel that their advanced education or experience entitles them to an exclusive part of the future digital economy. This idea is especially prevalent within the Unix world. Running big iron on large systems continues to be the focus of these users. They are sharper the tongues in defending their perceived territory within information's technology industry. So poor is the reputation of these individuals within the larger business world that Microsoft targets them when speaking to IT managers. They have a marketing campaign promising to help you get rid of Unix and those expensive and obnoxious Unix professionals. Failure on the part of Unix companies to market and enjoin the common user is one of the major reasons for Microsoft's success. As bad as Microsoft's products have been at entangling the user, opening security holes and forcing upgrades on businesses, Unix vendors with superior infrastructure have refused to even compete. This philosophy of computing control from on high is a business failure. Every time proprietary systems make generally available a programming architecture, may that be HTML, JavaScript, Visual Basic for Access, users swell from the rank and file to exploit these technologies to generate new ideas in business. So while we must assure freedom, we must also assure for many people as possible this freedom. New York, and in New York, we developed a new kind of GNU Linux organization and free software organization. As a reflection of our city, we are determined to create as big a tent as possible for everyone. Our goal is free computing and digital communications for all. Our beachfront of the digital revolution, we need to forge new advanced positions in elementary school education, in the university system, in business, in publication, and in the arts and in the home. We need, and we have used, a number of tools at our disposal in New York to attempt to push this agenda forward. First and foremost, we have tapped our local community of free software developers to give us time on a volunteer basis to make inexpensive classes available to the public. In addition, we've started a marketing campaign targeting public schools in an effort to place free software into schools, to giving young children a chance to learn how to program and how to use free software tools needed to create art and music. Thirdly, we are lobbying our congressional leaders by going door-to-door with petitions and buttons, lobbying for the needed fair use protections of personal property and communications media. And finally, we have an effort underway to fill in the gaps for small business in regards to providing complete solutions for their business needs. This has been very hard work, but our members have worked very hard to bring all these programs to life. Our organization might very well be the most active local free software organization in existence when the recession which followed the destruction of the World Trade Center in New York City began to grip our region on the heels of the economic blow of the dot-com bust, which was partly due, by the way, to copyright problems. And that took place in the previous year. Things in New York got very tough, but NYLXS responded by being tougher. Today, we are seeing fertile ground for which will lead the local, national, and global economy to an even higher ground than it was in the boom-boom days of the late 1990s. But to do this, we must commit to broad freedom, and we must be prepared to work hard. The choice is laid out before us. We can continue as we have and hope that things turn out well, not just for free software developers, but also for the general public. Or we can start to redouble our efforts and work harder. Freedom to create, communicate, and develop are fundamental human needs. It is the foundation of tolerance, mutual inclusion, and political freedom. No one knows this better than the French, the cost of preserving this freedom as this nation was the battleground for freedom for much of the last century, and it is probable that no land has had more blood spilt on it for this goal. Free software is not even asking for the ultimate sacrifice of generations past to assure freedom, but only requires you to act in your own self-interest with the pen and keyboard. Join us in New York at forging this new world, a world of freedom and tolerance and mutual respect. And that's the end. And we will be back in 10 seconds. Okay, we are back on the air, www.nylxs.com radio. I hope you've enjoyed a good part of tonight's show and that you got some useful information out of it. I would like to tie up some loose ends about coming events with our organization. First of all, if you've listened to this and you've decided that this is really the type of thing for you and you want to become involved with that organization, by all means, become involved. There's so much work for us to do. I can't, you know, people sometimes they ask me or they email me what to do, and I just don't even, you know, I just like, here, I got a whole barrel of things, just pick one, you know. Trying to find something to do within NYLXS is a very easy task. It's really like shooting fish in a barrel. It's easier than that, actually. Just pick things up. Some of the things that we need done is we need more help with our educational program, not in teaching, but we need people who market free software to local high schools and the Board of Education. This is a very important thing for us. I consider it one of the paramount cornerstones of our overall efforts of NYLXS, and I really hope that we can get some more people involved in this, and this is some area that we can use some help in. Another thing that we need help with is, and it's an interesting thing, because I've been accused that we don't do enough technical stuff. That's because there's plenty of people do a lot of technical stuff. What we really need to do is more the footwork, and I need people to help with public relations. This is a general call to the public, anybody in New York within earshot of this message. Please, please, please help us by publicizing our classes. Help us by helping us push our events. Go to every mailing list that you know and push things along. And we need help getting things printed, of course, and to getting handing out flyers, getting things in people's hands. We have one of the guys I had forgotten to mention before, which he likes to keep his privacy, so I won't mention his full name. But Mr. V, I would like to, he has been working very hard at getting us the proper runtime schedule up and running to make our announcements a few months in advance so that we can get onto the calendar pages of programs like the you know, the Linux Journal. And we have not yet even begun to completely exploit our capabilities, and one of the reasons that's holding us back, one of the things that's holding us back is our inability to effectively get out public relations material as well as we have. The guy who's in charge of our public relations subcommittee is a beautiful human being by the name of Joe Gostara, and big Joe Gostara, big blonde Italian guy. You wouldn't want to meet him in a dark alley when he's mad, but Joe is really a pussycat. But he needs all the help that he can get with getting our stuff done and public relations work done. And please, if you can help us with this. Now, obviously, this is not something that I need you to hack. I mean, I need people, obviously, with broad range of capable skills that don't include writing in assembly language the entire Linux kernel. It includes the real hard work that any large corporation or enterprise nonprofit business would do anyway. And, of course, we don't have that necessarily in our domain yet, and this is one of the reasons why I established NYLXS, was to give us the opportunity to start formally marketing like a real business might or like a real nonprofit might, and in order to get to push our funding, which is not through donations, by the way, but through our own, we earn it. We earn everything by teaching or by things like
that. But donations are cheerfully accepted.
Under the proper circumstances.
Yes. There must be no hint of quid pro quo at any crude, corrupt level.
And it's been asked of me a couple of times now. People have wanted to be involved. Actually, not people, but businesses have wanted to be involved with the organization. And of course, we're not an organization of businesses, although we do have an organization of consultants within our organization, or an informal organization of consultants within our business. But the main thing is that membership in this organization is driven by volunteer hours, and that's how it is. So if we were offered, for example, a building from somebody, you know, we probably would not take it unless the president of the corporation paid $40 and spent time marketing free software into high schools under our organization's auspices.
Well, we'd have to adjust the actual monetary and number of hours, volunteer times, if it's a bigger organization, right? Big organization would give more money and would offer more volunteer hours.
We want individuals in the organization. So the CEO of IBM wants to give us money, not that they've offered it, or building or funding. We say to them that, fine, let Lou Gerstner, whoever is the CEO of IBM now, sign on. In fact, the entire IT department or the entire development staff, which you guys in, because
right.
you know what, we don't even need the development department. Although it would be nice also to help us with some things like the accounting desktop. But what we need more is their marketing department, frankly, and their marketing skills. We need people that are capable of handling going through federal government contracts and understanding actually the process and teaching others how to go through the process, which is something I've tried doing myself, and it's just it's a learned skill. And you,
it's the Byzantine Empire.
Yes. If you so clearly we need that type of effort. Not that we're not technical. We have, in fact, we are technical. I just gave a wonderful lecture myself on an in-service on C programming and GTK, which was one of the best tech presentations I think that we've given. David Sugar has given on AutoConf and Make. Marco has given an in-service on sound and audio. And we give these in-services as part of professional continuing education. My idea is that you are a professional, I am a professional. And really, I don't understand, if it was a licensed profession computing, which, you know, I don't know if this, that would be good or bad, but one of the queer things that would happen is that there would be a mandate for continuing education and for sharing of knowledge in a collegiate way and experience. Brendan McAdams gave one on Mod Pearl and on financials and how they use it in the financials.
Whatever
world.
Happened to Brendan McAdams?
Brendan McAdams is still around. I spoke to him on the phone the other day. He has, even though he's gotten off the hang-up mailing list, he hasn't disappeared.
The hang-up mailing list is a hard thing for many people, particularly if they try and read the posts.
Yes. There is also other technical things. And the next in-service is probably going to be done by Ari Jort on, if I'm not mistaken, cryptography and PGP or GPG keys. Or I think that's what we decided that we would do it on. That was originally going to be scheduled for July, around the 15th of July. I'm going to have to reschedule that because I won't be here. I will be giving that wonderful speech I just gave out in France. So we'll probably try to push that off a week. Joe Costera has given us a okay to have a install fest in his home. He's just been fortunate enough to move from Bay Ridge, which is on one corner of Brooklyn. If Brooklyn was a square, that would be on the, which it's not, it's more like a circle. So that would be on the west southwest coordinate of the square. And so now he's moving to Williamsburg, which is in the northeast coordinate of the borough. And but he wants to do a install fest in his house, and as soon as he gets settled in his new apartment, I'm sure that will be happening either on a Sunday, on a Sunday.
Let me just put in a word to those few people listening who have not yet installed or successfully installed a free operating system. Computers are cheap. Hard drives are cheap today. And the install process has gotten easier. Nonetheless, if you're installing any free operating system on a home machine, come to an install fest. Do it with people who've done it before.
Oh, we have a good time, although last time, one time we did get into a slight shouting match, but that's par for the course for us.
Only one shouting match?
Only one shouting match.
Okay.
But the but really, we have a good time when we do this. We tend to drink and install at the same time, which always makes some interesting operating systems. I did, as a spoof, did want to install one operating system so everything in X would be upside down. I have to figure out how to do that. It would just be a great spoof for an install fest. We also did that at, we also had another install fest in Manhattan at recently over with Forster Mars, who I want to thank for that. Of course, our Linux One class, the graduation process of our Linux One class is that they run their own install fest. So we get our newbie greenbacks in there to help you install your software. Hopefully,
we also
with
get some of the
they
green
weren't.
Horns.
Yes, that too. So,
and the mossbacks even come down.
The
Ruben, what's the music? But wait, you're not finished. Sorry.
The music? What music? What,
we need to, let's broadcast some music.
No, we don't. I can't do that right now.
Okay.
I'm trying to think if there's anything else that I need to announce. If you are a participant in another free software organization or a Linux organization or a GNU Linux organization, whichever they prefer to be called, although they should call themselves GNU Linux.
I'd just like to say a word to all you free BSD, NetBSD, and OpenBSD folk. Come on down.
Yes. Yes. We've been accused offhandedly and sometimes not so offhandedly of not being against FreeBSD. Now, personally, I am not in love with BSD, but there are definitely clearly technical advantages to it, and it's still free software. And I'm just as happy to have as many FreeBSD people as possible. If you're dedicated to the causes as laid out on our mission statement on our website, then you are definitely welcome to come, and we would love to have you. Let's see, do we have any other events that we have to cover? Oh, classes. We are going to be running yet another string of classes very soon. In fact, right now I'm thinking Paul, before he left on vacation, who's in charge of the Free Software Institute subcommittee, left us a schedule, which is on the main website right now. However, I think I might try to sneak finally a Linux 2 class in here so that the people that took the Unix 1 class can move up the scale one notch. And so we're looking forward to doing that. Keep posted to the announcements. If you can't handle the Hangout list, which is, you know, quite understandable for many people, by all means, get on the announcements list so you can get our announcements and check our calendar out.
It's mainly the formatting I find difficult in the Hangout list. Yeah. Just wanted to mention.
Yeah, well, Billy called it the sloppy formatting list, right? What can I tell you? Yeah. That's life in the Big Apple or in the big city. But I think that about sums up all the current activities that we have endeavored, that we have coming up in the next couple weeks.
I have to tell you, since it is a show business, it's a performance over at Abil, over at the Free Software meeting over in Bordeaux. I have to say, break a leg.
Thank you very much. I hope that doesn't become really... I hope that doesn't, with the Tour de France going
through Bordeaux... Purely figurative. Purely figurative.
With the
Tour de France... figurative and traditional.
With the Tour de France going through France at that time, I hope I really don't break a leg. I do have an affinity for bicycles, being that I spent, for anybody who doesn't know this, which is probably everybody because I've probably said it over and over 100 times, I did spend almost 10 years of my life as a bike messenger. So I do have a thing for bicycles. Anyway, so I hope I really don't break a leg while I'm out there. In any event... I want to wish everybody out there to have a great week and have a successful week in all your endeavors. Of course, especially their endeavors for free software. Keep plugging away, guys, and we are out of here.
Dun 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 dun